In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins and a mouth to cut the chunky with the plastic eyeballs. Spray paint the vegetables, dog food skulls with the beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with a loser in the cruise control. Babies in Reno with the vitamin D. Got a couple of couches, sleep on the love seat. Someone came saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. You get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your fruit stamps and burning down the trailer park. Yo.
Okay, everyone, welcome to another Bolt from the Blue podcast. And we're here to talk about the second game, the second leg against Real Madrid. To discuss this with me, I've got Bernard Dineen. Bernard, how are you doing?
Oh, mate. Yeah, up and down, a bit up and down. I'm trying to be positive. I think doing these things over the last few years, I've become very positive, but certainly glass half full, probably more than glass half empty, which is probably the old City style, isn't it? From the 80s, 90s, the O's. It's definitely glass half empty. And I used to buy things like King of the Kip Action. I still buy it, of course, until it finished. Just because you could read things and everyone was just as depressed as you, and it was good. It was good because every City fan, you know, obviously we weren't great, and it was like, is it cathartism it's called? I think that's the word, is it? Where you know, you can share it, and even to read other people's thoughts. Of course, before the internet came around, you could speak to your mates in the pub and various things like that. But of course, when my kids were little, I was running businesses, I had my kids who appreciated City, but you sort of lose your mates, don't you? So things like King of the Kippax were the sort of forerunner to these sort of things where you could talk things through or listen to someone else's view, and it made you feel better. So, you know, we have to do these programs to sort of, we have to have the lows to appreciate the highs, mate, don't we? So, as I say, I mean, of course, at the game, after the game, I was just rushing to make sure I could get home, basically, because it was getting a bit late at night. And you know what Manchester's like, it shuts at 11 o'clock. So I was panicking about my tram back home, never mind anything else. But that took priority over worrying about the fact we'd just been beaten on penalties. But yeah, I'm all right. A bit up and down, but I think we all are. But as I say, we don't have long to suffer, do we? Then we can try and get back up again with another game very quickly, of course.
Absolutely. That's why this pod is going out like pretty much straight after we record it. Well, guys, I totally relate to what Bernard says. I mean, sometimes defeats are cathartic, but this one stung. It hurt because we had 33 shots to their 8 and 18 corners to their 1. It was total domination. Every outlet says it, but we just couldn't stick the ball in the back of the net after we'd equalised and before as well, of course.
Cup football, mate. It's cup football. Don't matter how good you are in the cup. You know, not always the best team that wins, and I think we can say that the best team didn't win on Wednesday night. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, that happens. That happens in cup competitions. You're absolutely right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get to the lineups, Bernard, and how many of these did you get right?
Well, would you be surprised if I said 11?
I would be a little bit surprised.
How rude! But, what are you trying to say?
Well, yes, I mean, I have to take 11 out of 11 blame.
I have to take partial blame for our defeat because I got 11 out of 11, mate. I was quite impressed. Of course, I'll run through them. Edison Walker was a big addition, wasn't he? We were glad Walker was playing, that's for sure. Kandy Diaz, Guardiola, no surprise Aki wasn't playing. He was on the bench, of course. Rodri, no doubt about that. De Bruyne and Foden both playing, which was good. Bernardo, Grealish. and the big lummox up front. And I'll call him a big lummox after that display. But yeah, the big lummox up front, Haaland, of course. But yeah, 11 out of 11. I don't think we could go far wrong with that, mate. I was quite chuffed. And I think Real Madrid, I'll zoom through them before we carry on. Lunin, Carvajal, Rudiger, Nacho Man, Mendy, Valverde, Camavinga, Cross or Cruz, whichever way you pronounce it. There, Rodrigo, their version, Bellingham and Vinny Jr. So, yeah, I think more or less what we expected from them as well, I think.
Yeah, just to mention the subs for City. Stones, Ake, Kovacic, Doku, Ortega, Alvarez, Gomez, Nunes, Carson, Bob and Lewis, and for Madrid on their bench, Militao, Modric, Joselu, Lucas, Ceballos, Garcia, Diaz, Guler, Arrizabalaga, and Gonzalez. And so off we kicked.
Was Kepa, is he the guy who caused all the trouble at Wembley that time with penalties?
Yeah, that's him. That's him.
I'm surprised he didn't tell the boss to put him on at the, you know, the last minute of injury time or something like that.
Well, people were asking a lot about like who this guy Lunin is, and actually it's Thibaut Courtois who would normally be in goal for them. But obviously
I think we talked last week, didn't we? He's actually injured at the moment, that's why he's not playing.
So yeah, I know Arrizabalaga. Obviously every City fan does when he refused to come off. But yeah, Lunin was
actually, couldn't we?
Lunin was a bit of an unknown quantity. So as I say, off we kicked, and let's talk about the first 10 minutes, Bernard.
Yeah, it's a funny game, wasn't it? Because I mean, you know, I do my chapters of the game, and there wasn't that many chapters in theory, even though of course we huffed and puffed and did a lot, but it wasn't the flying start, was it, mate? I mean, perhaps if he'd stuck with Doku and stuck him on, it might have been a bit more flying. But I think it was a measured approach, wasn't it? And I think we both tried to suss each other out for 10 or 11 minutes. But I was a bit disappointed because you think about to last season, of course. We came out of the traps flying, didn't we, last season? And I think we perhaps missed a little bit of a trick this time. We perhaps should have come out a little bit livelier. And not a lot happened, did it, Mike, until, of course, it wasn't that long, 12 minutes, wasn't it, before we had a hill to climb anyway, not a mountain, we had a little bit of a hill to climb.
Yeah, let's talk about this goal. It was Rodrigo scoring at the second attempt and obviously Ederson blocked the first one. Anyone to blame for this?
Would you blame Walker? Walker should have perhaps had a better eye on Rodrigo. He obviously got in behind him, didn't he? Didn't even see where he was. I think Walker was appealing for an offside, was he? I remember his arm going up, appealing for something. Of course, it came down our right-hand side. So where was Gvardiol? Was he not about? I don't. I've not had a chance to watch it back. I didn't really want to watch it back, in fairness. But what happened to Gvardiol? Was he not in the left-back position? He should have been stopping that at that stage. But, of course, once he got in behind us, a lot of the blame has to be with Walker. Ederson, I mean, people said it was a superb save. He didn't know a lot about it, let's be honest about it. But, of course, it could have bounced anywhere, couldn't it, mate? It could have bounced to the left. It could have bounced, you know, and it just happened just to go straight back to Rodrigo, of course, who made no qualms about putting it in the second bite of the cherry. He put it away with aplomb, and after 12 minutes, I wasn't worried, mate. I wasn't over worried. I thought we could do it because I knew Real Madrid would then start to defend. I just knew it. I thought, well, we probably have enough to certainly get back into this. So even though we're 1-0 down, I'm still fairly confident at that stage.
Yeah, I mean, they did set up to defend, and City got three quick corners, and then Bernardo Silva sticking one on the head of Erling Haaland, and he's not in form at the moment, Erling, is he?
What do you think? I almost thought, I haven't put this out on Twitter because I'll get loads of stick, of course, for Erling, but I don't think he's the greatest header of a ball, do you?
Well, I think the jury's still out on that one, but he seems to be directing. He seems to be directing a lot of them over the bar. He's not getting over it and heading down or heading to the left or the right. So you know, I think the jury's still out. I mean, he's got the height, he's got the power. He gets on the end of them. He gets up there. He's just not hitting the target.
I think he did all right to get to that one. I think he did okay to get high and get to it in the first place. It never looked as though it was ever going to go in, did it? It never looked as though it was going to go in. But Bernardo, of course, it was waiting to react to it. I mean, was he waiting to react for it to bounce in the goal and celebrate? Or, you know, when it hit, it was as though it was a surprise when it hit the bar and come back to him. But, of course, in the throes of a game like that, you know, you only have to be a foot or two the wrong side and you're going to obviously struggle to get to it. So I'm not going to blame Bernardo. Of course, it was up the other end because he switched us round, didn't he, which was interesting as well. They switched us round, so we were kicking towards the south stand for the second half, which has happened probably, what, three or four times over the last couple of months, hasn't it? We've been switched round to play, which I think is great. I thought atmosphere-wise, we'll probably have a quick chat about that. I thought the atmosphere was okay. It wasn't as intimidating as last season, but I thought considering we were 1-0 down early doors, I thought the atmosphere was pretty good from City fans.
Yeah.
I certainly couldn't hear the Real Madrid fans where I was, because obviously I'm in amongst the City fans, but they were kicking that way. And Bernardo Silva, yeah, I'm not going to put any blame on Bernardo. I'm not even going to particularly put any blame on Erling for that one. I think generally, I just don't think he's the greatest. You know, think about him heading the ball. He scored it with his head, of course he has, but I just don't think it's his best, what he's really good at. And yet, for a big bloke, you'd expect him to be very good at it, wouldn't you?
So you reckon you should go and do training sessions with Niall Quinn then?
Well, yeah, I mean, as I said, we made comparisons a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, to Niall Quinn. As far as holding the ball up, Niall Quinn was superb. As bringing other players into the game, Niall Quinn was brilliant. As a header, I don't think Niall Quinn was the greatest header of a ball either. I think he's a bit like Haaland. Just because he's tall doesn't mean he's the most fantastic header. But I think overall, apart from the goals scored, there's not a lot between them for me. I wouldn't be averse to, you know, in that sort of, if Haaland had been playing in Niall Quinn's time, would he have scored the goals he's scoring now? Probably.
Playing in that team?
Yeah.
You know, it's
you go back to Niall Quinn in the 90s, you go back to City, would Haaland have scored as many goals in that team?
No. Absolutely
why?
Not.
Because we're still created. Some people like David White still playing, you know, putting the ball in and stuff like that, didn't we?
Yeah, there was no Kevin De Bruyne in those days, though.
Well, we've had other guys that...
Just to back up your point, I mean, 5 minutes later, probably about the 20 minutes mark, De Bruyne got a save out of Lunin, and then Haaland headed against the woodwork again this time. Yeah. And this time it was Bernardo Silva, who didn't know much about it and couldn't stick in the rebound. But from that point on...
It was puffing and puffing, mate, wasn't it? It was like, you know, we were trying, but as I say, we didn't fly out of the traps. And once we went a goal down, we just kept that measured approach. Of course, that drive from Kevin De Bruyne, I think Lunin always had it covered, didn't he? Well, it wasn't the greatest. And I think perhaps Kevin could have put it on his outside as well. I think someone was overlapping on the right. It might have been the better option, actually, than shooting. So, but I thought Kevin did his... For a big game, I thought Kevin, at least he managed to play the full game and didn't get injured or anything like that. And I thought Kevin played pretty well, actually. And on another day, he might have had one or two assists. But, of course, it didn't quite work out in front of goal. But, of course, that was about it, I think, mate. I don't think there was that much else in the first half, was there?
Not really, apart from just to talk about one or two players. What did you think about Grealish?
Yeah, I thought he started well. But having said that, as I said, I obviously put Grealish in my team. But, you know, did we perhaps in hindsight, it's lovely, lovely hindsight, isn't it? We can think back. Perhaps he wasn't quite the right guy for that time. Perhaps he was a guy to bring on later on when we perhaps had a lead rather than... perhaps we should have gone with Doku, but as I said, I'd said Grealish in the first place, so I'll stick by that. And I thought he did okay. The trouble with Grealish is he can't buy a goal, mate, can he? He had a couple of shots, I remember, and he never really worrying the goal. And that's the trouble with Grealish. You just can't rely on Grealish to get us a goal. I don't get excited if Grealish soon as he pulls his foot back to have a shot, it doesn't do anything for me. I love the way mm-hmm. he plays. I love the way he holds on to it. I love the way he keeps the ball. He circulates it. We don't lose it. And he does everything Pep wants. But I'm sorry. He's another guy who just, for me, I need to see more goals from him. And it just doesn't happen. He just doesn't score the goals.
Mm-hmm. Well, off we go again in the second half. And
be confident, Mike, at half-time. You're still confident we could get back in it?
Yeah, I was definitely confident that we could equalise. Yeah. I had a funny feeling that it might go to extra time. It took us another half an hour. It took us 30 minutes longer before we could actually equalise. Let's talk about the period from the beginning of the second half to the equalising goal. I thought we were just really, really dominant. But as we said at the beginning, there are no points for artistic impression in football. So just lacking a little bit of, you know, a little bit of dynamism, a little bit of nous and up front. So we just...
A bit of magic, we're missing that little piece of magic, weren't we, that we've had in key games. Just something a little bit special. For Haaland to do something fantastic, you know, just to do something. Just to do something, never mind something fantastic. Of course, the nearest we got before the goal, I think, was the guy when he nearly put it through his own net.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was, you know, that says it all, really. The closest we came to scoring a goal was when, of course, is it Nacho man, sort of rushed back, put it past his keeper, ended up having to hook it off the line, well, near the line. I don't think it was on the line. But, of course, I think he was under pressure from, it was De Bruyne to Haaland. And of course, he poked it towards his own goal. But I was never thinking, being behind that goal, I was never thinking that's going in. I always knew he always looked as though he was going to get to it. But, you know, as you said, until we did score, which was obviously the 75th minute, that was the only real chance I remember. I don't think, you know, we had a lot of corners. We had 18 on the night, didn't we? 18, all right, we had extra time as well. But we had a lot of corners, looked at pretty useless from them. KDB was throwing them in, but we never looked as though we were worrying their defence. I don't know if Alvarez would have been taken on a normal day, and I think he's the same as KDB. In fairness, I think KDB, considering how good KDB is, if he's going to throw him into the box, you'd expect us to pose a bit more danger, because we had a couple of guys on the goalkeeper, but we weren't winning anything, were we? Certainly Erling wasn't getting in there and making his way.
Do you remember exactly when it was when Doku came on?
Yeah, 72nd minute.
Yeah, instant impact. Three minutes later.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a poor knockout from Rudiger, really.
Would you have took Grealish off, though, or would you have kept him on?
No, I would have taken him off and brought Doku on.
Do you think?
This last few matches, you know, he's been
on for a time. Take someone else off.
No. I would like for like. I think, because I don't think that they could play together, really. But
I mean, if that had been Doku who started the game and doing what he did for the first 10 or 15 minutes, there's a possibility we might have been leading early. Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, he would be my first choice now on that side.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Particularly in the last two or three games, you know, he's shown what he's got. I know it turned in a great performance against Luton. It's only Luton, but he's just very, very, very unpredictable, where Grealish is much more predictable, I think. And anyway, he played a big part in this goal, didn't he?
He did. Of course, all thanks to I call him the thug Rudiger. Of course, he didn't clear it properly, did he? Of course, he put the ball in Doku across. And of course, Rudiger sort of, I don't know, he got his feet mixed up. I don't know if he had his right boot on his left foot and his left boot on his right foot. I have no idea. But he didn't get any sort of distance on the clearance. He fell over. And of course, Kevin, although he wasn't far from goal, put it into the roof of the net. And of course, the keeper has no chance. He didn't have a chance to react to do anything. It, you know, it's unless it's hitting him, he's not going to save that. And that was it. I'll be honest with you, mate. At that stage, I thought we'd go on to win this.
We were in a bit of a purple patch immediately in the first 4 minutes after that goal. We had two chances for De Bruyne. The first one was more of a half chance, I think, but it was a golden chance, the second one.
When Akanji
pulled it back to him.
How did he miss it? I mean, there was probably defenders in his way, but I thought a sort of Rodri-type finish that would have required rather than his power over the bar. You know, if he'd sort of placed it more than powered it, because he was, what, 12 yards out? He was probably that distance, coming onto it beautifully. I just thought that was going to be in the net. We were right behind it, of course, and I was devastated. And that's game over, mate. That would be the tie, 2-1. I don't think they were coming back from that. And you, obviously, these things are decided on such moments, aren't they? As in the Champions League final with Rodri, and of course, them missing a couple of key things at the end. Milan.
Tell me this. You think Rodri would have scored that?
Yeah. I think Rodri or Gundo would have scored that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gundo would have had the nous to place that, and I think Rodri would have had the nous to place it as well. I'm not saying, you know, it's, I don't want to criticise KDB. Of course, he got us back in it with the goal, but I think he was angry with himself. I think Pep was a bit pissed off with it as well, wasn't he? When I saw pictures afterwards. But I think Kev knows he should have done better with that. But that's how it is, mate. We've seen people like Sergio miss things like that in the past. Sergio Aguero. We've certainly seen Haaland miss things like that. So yeah, I think he'll be. I think he was disappointed. But that such things. Sort football matches, and we still had plenty of time. We still had 8 minutes plus potential extra time to sort of wear them down. And you know, they were at 1-0. They were hoping to hang on for 1-0, and at 1-1, you could just see they were hanging on for extra time and penalties. It was clear they had no desire really to do anything apart from fall over and try and waste as much time as they come. And so some people compared them to Stoke City. I think is a little bit insulting to Stoke City, actually. The way they played, but hey, that wins games, and it did so this time. But yeah, I was gutted. That was it. Game over, mate. If he'd put that in the net, it would have been game over. But we can't pick on KDB, can we? It's just one of those things.
Well, in the dying minutes, we got to see a face from the past in Brahim Diaz, who came on. Didn't get it. Didn't
fans, actually. Yeah, he got an okay welcome from some City fans. Not that. I don't remember that much about him, so I'm not going to clap or boo him. It doesn't bother me, but he got a warmish welcome anyway.
Well, you mentioned earlier about hindsight being, you know, 2020, but according to Guardiola, you know, Haaland and also, you know, Kevin De Bruyne went off and were replaced, and they'd actually asked to come off. And my question to you is. If they had kept them on the bench and started them in the second half or midway through the second half, could we have survived that first half without them?
No, I think KDB was the right choice. Of course, I was talking to Ray the other day about on his channel. He would play with a false nine at the moment because he's not rating Haaland at all. So, you know, obviously when we picked the 11s, he was dropping Haaland, and I can see reasons for that. But to take, you know, and if they want to come off, obviously someone's saying Haaland felt a little bit of a niggle. KDB was probably exhausted because he's run his socks off, mate. And KDB all day long for me. I wouldn't have been averse to Haaland not starting in the way things panned out. But of course, Kevin, I thought Kevin played pretty well. And as I said, on another day, he would have had a goal and a couple of assists, or two goals and a couple of assists. But You think, well, Kevin can score a penalty. You think Erling can score a penalty. So, and you start, we started to think about penalties at that stage. I mean, I don't know what the stats are, Mike, but every time I see a game that goes to 30 minutes extra time, discounting the Liverpool one when they scored late against Chelsea, of course, in the Carabao Cup, it's very rarely games are sorted in extra time now, isn't it? You know, obviously, all right, Real Madrid against City a couple of years ago with the semi-final, but they always seem to, as though both teams, there's too much at stake to risk
exactly.
it.
Exactly. too much to risk.
Go to penalty. So I do, when it got to extra time, I thought, yeah, we can still do it. But it was draining from me, the optimism, that's for sure.
Well, in the first half of extra time, that 15 minutes, I don't think there's too much to talk about. There was a chance for Rudiger. He was the wrong man for that. He stuck that wide.
Yeah, do you think someone else might have been able to stick that in?
Absolutely, I do. We were lucky he was on the end of it. So let's move into the second period of extra time. Again,
I'm just going to say, did you find anything else then? Because I'm struggling.
No, I don't think so. I think this is when they're playing for penalties.
Yeah.
Both teams. And I think, you know, at this point, Ancelotti would have taken penalties all day long. I mean, he probably would have taken penalties at the end of the 90 minutes plus extra time there. But I knew at that point that's where it's going. It's going to penalties.
Yeah.
So is there anything you want to talk about?
Did you have any confidence that we'd do it?
Well, our penalty taking personnel was depleted, let's just say.
Were you disappointed that I was disappointed certain players didn't step up to take a penalty? Do you know who I'm thinking about? You have a guess who I'm thinking about? Who was on that pitch at the end that you would have thought might step up and take a penalty?
Doku, Rodri.
Rodri's took him for Spain, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, why? I mean, someone said he was tired. I'm sorry, if he can't get off his arse and walk up to that 12-yard spot in one of our biggest games of the season, I'm getting a bit annoyed with Rodri. You know, I mean, a couple of games ago he said he was tired, etc., which is fair enough. And Pep intimated, all right, if he's tired, I'll get someone else to do it, which is fair enough. But I'm sorry, we all know Ederson can take a penalty. We all know he can. But Ederson was only our fifth penalty take because people like Rodri weren't willing to step up and take one. You know, people who you think could do it, could take one. And this really annoyed me. You know, and obviously Bernardo's got his stick and Kovacic. We'll probably talk about Bernardo's awful penalty in a minute. But just Rodri, for me, is a prime example of a guy who, I don't care how tired he is, he should have took responsibility. Even Stones, who came on in injury time, I thought, you know, he's got the kahunas, as Pep said in the past. I thought he might have even... I didn't want Walker to take one, which I think we all agree on that. We know he scored one once, but it was more by luck than judgment. But yeah, I was a little disappointed the likes of Stones and Rodri, and you mentioned Doku there. But having said that, I wouldn't have expected Bernardo to miss, would you? I mean, I just expected him to stroke it into the net.
Well, let's go through them. Beautiful opening penalty from Alvarez.
Yeah, and that was a good penalty.
And then comes the drama. Luka Modric, his penalty saved by Ederson. And I don't know if Ederson has got a great record at saving penalties. I haven't seen him save that many.
I honestly would have put Ortega in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we didn't have Caballero, Bravo, or Pantilim on there, I would have perhaps put Ortega up, because I'm going to be disappointed with Ederson as well. And I don't want to be disappointed. He had the balls to take our fifth penalty, and it was the best penalty of the night, mind you. Superb penalty. He was so cool and calm. But you know me and penalty. I used to sort of think I was pretty good, and I was good. I was reasonably good at saving penalties. And when he went to his right to save that Modric one, I just had a feeling that some of the Real Madrid ones were going to go that way. I don't know why. It's just something that clicks into my mind that, you know, at least a couple more of their takers are going to put them to the same place. They're going to try and put them to the right. And all Ederson did was the next four was move to his left. I don't understand the logic. You know, don't go the same way every time, because it's psychological. The penalty taker's seen you move that way. They'll stick it the other end, the other side. And I don't know. We've got guys who sort of will have a list of players, and if these players, if them Real Madrid players have took penalties before, they should know where they put them, don't they? And there's always a favoured side there always is. It doesn't. It's not a rocket. It's not exact science, of course. It's not. But I did get a bit down on Edison with the last four penalties. He should have done something more than he did. And yeah, I can't have a go at him because at least he had the balls to step up and score our fifth penalty. But yeah, of course, after going 1-0 up, Bernardo, mate, what was he doing? What was he doing with that?
Just trying to be too clever.
A Penenka, was it supposed to be a Penenka?
I think it was supposed to be.
To dive and Bernardo must have been such a lovely touch, hasn't he? He's got a great left foot. I think left foot penalty takers, I think they look impressive. Left foot goal scorers, you think of Mahrez, they always score impressive goals. They always seem to can put it into a spot. And I was not discussing it, but how can you pick on him? I wouldn't pick on him.
Well, listen,
but how
can you, this is it's a relatively recent phenomenon. I mean, and sometimes you're better sticking with tried and tested. I mean, really hard and low into either corner.
Yeah.
It looks good when it comes off, doesn't it? But you know, there must have been something in the way that he shaped up that Lunin knew he was going to do that.
Yeah, you have to think back to Sergio Aguero doing silly things like that. And as you say, it looks fantastic. But at that stage of a game, it's a second penalty. You're winning 1-0. You just seen them miss one. You know, to go 2-0 up, mate, that's psychologically damaging for the other team. It is. And Bernardo, I expected better from Bernardo. After he did that, I sort of thought to myself, well, he's on his way at the end of this season. I don't really care now. But obviously, that was just a gut reaction at the time. Of course, I love Bernardo to bits. I always like him. But I think he'll be disappointed. And we were all bloody disappointed, weren't we? Especially when Mr. Kovacic, were you surprised he took one?
Well, just before that, obviously, Real Madrid scored through Jude Bellingham. That was only the second thing he did really impressively on the night. There was that ball that he took down out of the sky, and he scored a good penalty. But I really don't know what the fuss is about.
No, I'll be honest with you. You couldn't rate any of the Real Madrid team, mate. You couldn't rate Rodrigo, Vinny Jr. We forgot they were on the pitch. I mean, They had to take them off. They were that bad, Vinny and Rodrigo. It's only Bellingham who stayed on. And is it like when he plays for England in the hope that he might scrape a goal and look as though he's a star player? No. Bellingham, he's got a reputation. He does okay. The stats prove he's done all right. Of course he has, but I'm sorry, that Real Madrid team, I wouldn't particularly take any of them, put them in the City team at the moment, you know, based on what we saw the other night.
Well, getting on to this penalty of Kovacic, struck to the right. But
it
just
wasn't as bad, was it? It wasn't as bad as Bernardo, but
no.
I've said to you, I said if Kovacic scores goals, enjoy them because he doesn't score many goals. Mm-hmm. So for him to step up, this is what annoyed me about people like Rodri. For him to having to step up and take a penalty, I had no confidence in him scoring it because I know he's not a prolific scorer. It's not what he does. You know, when you think you've had people like Gundo and Mahrez in the past, all right, Mahrez has let us down at key times, but you know, imagine if them two had still been around. I mean, that's why we won penalty shootouts, and we have won penalty shootouts, even though we do laugh about how bad we've been. We do tend to have a good record in games as far as penalty shootouts are concerned. But when Kovacic strolled up to take penalty number three, I, again, they'd scored, obviously, so they'd equalise 1-1. I just didn't have any confidence, and again, it was a poor penalty.
Two very competent penalties taken by Madrid and also Phil Foden. Yeah. They were all textbook, Nacho and Vasquez, with Foden sandwiched in the middle. And then up comes Ederson. Were you surprised about that at all?
I wasn't surprised on the basis that I'm surprised that other people hadn't stepped up. And it just confirmed that other people didn't want to take a penalty. Other people didn't want to take responsibility. It's as simple as that. Certain guys well, to use a little bit of a swear word, certain guys shit out of it. It's as simple as that. So Edison, that's why I'm not going to say I was a bit disappointed. Perhaps he didn't do better with a couple of the other penalties. But, hey, to step up, and as I said, it was the best penalty of the night for me. In the goalkeeper picked the right way, but he stroked it in. Everyone expects him to blast it, don't they, because of what he's like. But he just stroked it into the corner, as I expected people like Bernardo to do. That's what he should have done with his left foot as well. It's just... yeah, all credit to him. I must admit, I didn't. As the last guy come up, I thought, "Oh, it's all over." And
I didn't think it was all over, because the guy to take the last penalty was that big Buffalo, Rudiger, and I thought, well, you know, I don't think he's got you know, a tremendous penalty taking record when he gets the chance to take them. And I thought, well, we could still, you know, hang on here, but he stuck it in, didn't he?
He did. Well, he did what he had to do. That's why I would like someone like Stonesy coming up and doing a similar sort of thing, you know. I must do it. As I said, it was. I looked at my watch and I thought, right, I said to my lad, look, I'm going to go to the top and watch this, because I've just got to get off and get to the tram station. You know, I don't know what time they run into, but... I sort of turned around, he stepped up, and that was it. That's the end of our... treble dreams again. That's the end of our title as champions of Europe. We're still there, of course, officially. We're still champions of Europe until Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or Dortmund or PSG take it off our hands in June. But disappointed, mate. But philosophical as well. I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, I've blocked City fans because of all the moaning. But I think I must have blocked them over the years, because I've only seen a lot of positivity on my social media. And of course we're all down, but hey, that's what being a City fan is, and that's we'll get up again. As I say, a week ago we were all celebrating because we were 2 points clear at the top of the table, and everything looked good. And as you say, 3 or 4 days in football, it's a long time, isn't it? A lot of things can happen.
Well, we basically just got to refocus. The focus becomes narrow. I know a lot of defeated teams say this, and they say, well, now we know exactly what we've got to do. Well, we certainly do, actually, and it begins on Saturday. Bernard, tell me about your thoughts about this one.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the players have come out of it, mate, doesn't it? If certain players are saying they're tired, that's not a good sign, is it? With only, 3 days between, obviously they would have been in for a wind down on Thursday, wouldn't they? Would have been done light. They're only doing light training anyway now. They're not doing any sort of big physical training. And of course, they'll have to zoom off to London today. I assume they're staying overnight. I don't assume they're going up tomorrow. So it's not much time to sort of get players' mindset, is it? I've not seen any training videos of them. If there's any sort of smiley faces, you know, psychologically that was a blow for us, isn't it? That, you know, it is a blow, definitely a blow. And of course, Pep's also got players who said they're tired, and he's got potentially players who might not quite do it. You know, you know, Rodri would be starting, but I'll tell you, he's not in my starting 11 for this. I'm praying he will be, but I think there's 3 or 4 players who are just too tired to start that game on Saturday.
That's where we're going next, Bernard. Predicted lineup for the game against Chelsea?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you sort of think what you're doing. You tell me what you've got, and you know, because obviously I've put mine out there on my little channel now, so people know what mine is.
Okay.
Talk me through your views and your thoughts of who and
okay,
why and
so
where.
Here's what it is. Ortega in goal.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah.
I'm hoping Ake, he's had two games on the bench, so he's got to be approaching fitness. If he's anywhere near it, I think he should be our left back.
Yeah, I agree.
I would probably go for... I'd probably go for Akanji and Diaz again.
Don't you think Stones will be available? He came on for the last few minutes.
It could be. I mean, that's the only doubt that I have.
I've got Stones and Diaz
in the centre.
I'm giving a Kanji a rest.
And who are you putting on the right?
Well, I'm hoping Walker, but I won't be surprised to see Lewis.
Right. Well, I would probably have Walker on the right. Rodri in the centre.
Yeah, I've put Kovacic in there. I'm assuming Rodri might not be quite up to it.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise. I mean, when I've done this, I thought if I get 7 or 8 right, I'll be happy. But I'm hoping Rodri. But I'm not convinced of Rodri the last 2 or 3 games, mate. I'm not, all right, he missed one the other week, had a rest. But I've not been overly convinced. And I think Kovacic did a bloody good job the other week when he played in that position. All right, not against the greatest opposition, but especially because we're playing Chelsea as well. I want him to show a bit of commitment to City because I remember, they claimed he celebrated a Chelsea goal. Didn't they claim he celebrated when Palmer scored that penalty at Stamford Bridge against us, that 4-4 game? Some people say Kovacic celebrated it. I'm not overly convinced, but he didn't look unhappy, put it that way. So I want Kovacic to play and show us that he's a City player.
Okay, so we're differing on that point.
Yeah. Certainly happy with Rodri, mate. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy with Rodri, but I
would have him flanked by KDB and Bernardo for a couple of reasons. First of all, Chelsea don't like KDB, but he likes them. And Bernardo has got, has got a chip on his shoulder now, I think. He knows what he did, and he'll be anxious to make up for it. So that will be my midfield three. You've gone for Kovacic.
I'll tell you now, I've not got KDB, and only on the fact that I'm not too sure he's going to be fully fit to start.
Right. Okay,
more a coming off the bench player for this one.
So who are your two on the other side of Rodri?
Bernardo and Foden, thinking Kovacic.
Right. So I've gone for Doku,
yeah,
left wing, and I've gone for Foden on the other side. Actually,
yeah,
that's how I. That's because it's been a while.
Are you playing the big ones again?
No, I'm playing Alvarez.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I totally agree. Haaland isn't in my starting 11. I've got Doku and Grealish, which is a bit brave. I can't see it, but I've gone for it with Alvarez playing a number 9, right, of course, with Foden helping, sitting behind Alvarez.
All right, okay. Well, there's a few differences there, but not that many.
Yeah, I mean, why have you not got Haaland? Let me ask you the question. Let me put you on. Why have you not put Haaland in your team? I know there's rumours.
I think his confidence is a bit shot.
It's not because he's injured, because I've heard rumours that he could be injured.
That's for the birds, but I think that his confidence is shot. He's taking a lot of stick at the moment.
Confidence unless he's playing. He's got to play to get his confidence, surely.
Let him come on in the second half then if nothing's happening, but I wouldn't start with him. And I think Alvarez, deserves a good sort of 60 minutes at the beginning of this game in his normal natural position to see what happens.
Yeah. I think Alvarez with Foden sitting in behind him playing the KDB role. If say you've got KDB in your team, I haven't. I think Foden, if he did that, he would be more central helping Alvarez as well. I think we look a lot better. And Alvarez needs some confidence as well, let's face it, because he's when he has had shots, apart from that one that went through the goalie's hands, it's been pretty awful. He's not been great, and yet he used to be quite clinical, I remember, certainly when he first came, and obviously in his Argentina World Cup days, he seemed to be doing the business. But I think he's lacking a little bit of confidence as well.
Well, are you gonna stick your neck out then and say what you think the scoreline might be?
Well, just have a quick word on Chelsea. Of course, they are sitting 9th, aren't they? So, not the greatest.
Bit of a bogey team for us.
What are the chances on Mr. Palmer scoring a goal? That's what I want to ask you.
Yeah, he's going to be their danger man. Seriously, he's well up the scoring charts too.
Obviously the old debate started up again as we made a mistake getting rid. Are you still happy that we got rid?
Not really, because you know what? He's only a goal or two behind Haaland in the scoring charts from his position on the wing. that's quite something, you know. So I think I think that it's done, but you know, it might have been a mistake.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was low in the pecking order at City, though, wasn't he? So I suppose we had to do it because he couldn't guarantee him that time, could he, that Chelsea could guarantee him. So, and he couldn't probably guarantee him the money as well. He obviously got a nice little raise, didn't he, when he went to Chelsea. But, yeah, I can see him scoring. I do hope that we will score at least one more, and that's all I'm going for, actually, Mike. I'm going for 2-1? I'm going for a Cole Palmer goal, but we'll manage to stick two in. So I'm going for a 2-1.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I think it'll, you know, I think a most likely result would be 2-1. But you
we'll
know,
be incredibly interested to see what 11 we play. That, you know, if I got 11 for that Real Madrid game, I'll tell you what, mate, I'll be happy getting 7 with this one because I have no idea what sort of frame of mind, how physically they've coped, what Pep's thinking. You know, is he still thinking we've got Brighton next Thursday? You know, all right, it's a few days away, but you know, we've seen him give up semi-finals, and we've seen him give up on FA Cup semi-finals, as in not playing his strongest team and taking chances. You know, the classic Liverpool one where they bloody went 3-0 up in the space of about 20 minutes. You know, we've seen him do it, Pep. I mean, surely Pep wants a double at least. Surely Pep wants the FA Cup and the league title.
Yeah, but as you say, he does tend to manage his resources with an eye on. Well, I know he always talks about like one game at a time, but he'll have his eye on the game on against Brighton and expect a few surprises. I would say expect a few surprises.
If you think about the Liverpool game against Chelsea in their cup final, because he brought the legs on at the end. You know, Wembley's got a reputation for being sapping the energy. And of course, having played 120 odd minutes plus penalties, I mean, there may be a few tired legs in that 11, your starting 11 and my starting 11. So would he have faith in people like Bob and Lewis if it came to it towards the end?
What he's more likely to do is possibly, despite my lineup and your lineup, I think he might start with a couple of those players and leave his big guns on the bench for the second part of the second half, depending on how things are going, of course.
Yeah,
but
very interesting. I mean, it will be. There's 36,738 City fans going down, so that's a good number. So hopefully it'll be a bit like the FA Cup final against United, where I thought for the first time ever, the City fans put up a pretty decent display at Wembley. I'm never impressed with how we at Wembley with City fans. We usually get outsung by the opposition over the last since even going back to the 70s, mate. You know, we always didn't seem as loud as the opposing fans. And, of course, I think last year against United was tremendous and I thought the atmosphere was brilliant. And, I mean, I'm in the top tier and I'll be made to sat down and stuff like this, but we didn't have to do that.
Well, that was going to be my final question. Will you be one of them, Bernard? So you will be then?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the next. Well, I'm going to Brighton and Forest and Wolves. So the next four games, I'm at them all. So hopefully we can win them all and you know, get to a final and sort of hopefully be in with a chance at the top of the table again. Of course, Arsenal and Liverpool, I think, play a couple of games, don't they, now, before we play on Thursday.
Well, there you go, guys. I mean, that's a relative rarity in this day and age, a match-going fan on a podcast. And the ones I watch is, you know,
I listen to what's he called, Man City show. They go, them guys.
Nigel Rothband and the crew. He's always there.
Some of the others, but a lot of them are foreign ones as well, guys. They can't go. They can't go to the flipping matches when they live in wherever, Korea,
South Korea. All right. Well, I tell you what. We'll get this in the can. We'll get it edited and out within the next hour and a half max, probably an hour. And we'll be with you again after this game against Chelsea in the FA Cup.
Yeah, so, we do get a little bit of breathing space between Saturday and Thursday, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. So, guys, I tell you what, we'll finish off in the normal way, and you know what it is by now. Have one on us, and up the blues.
Up the super blues.